I'm originally from Onaway, Alberta. Do you know where that is?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Alberta guy. I'm from Alberta and
Oh, okay. Yeah, well that's where I
yeah.
grew up.
Yeah.
So I'm not
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
actually,
Like
that.
just northwest of Edmonton.
I'm not actually married to my cousin. I'm from Alberta. We
I'm
don't
from
do
Alberta.
that.
Faking
Hey,
it out here.
I'm from Pincher Creek, so I might be
Okay.
married to my cousin.
You're definitely married to your cousin.
Little Arkansas.
Good day,
Good day, eh?
good day, and welcome to another Forge Side Chat, a podcast about blacksmithing, bladesmithing, and everything in between, with a heavy focus on talent in the Great White North.
That's Canada, eh? Today we've got Jen Phillips with Metal Monkey Designs Co. Man, you are an amazing talent. I've been gushing over your Instagram for the last few days, just looking at the metal pictures. I know that Instagram is famous for TNA, but man, your art is amazing. Amazing. That
Thank you
makes
so
two of us,
much.
man.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
So,
Jen, you've been a Red Seal welder for a while now. You jumped into the metal art world, moved into Saskatchewan recently, got a couple kids. They're pretty young still, so your congratulations on being a mom and having your own metal design business going on, making the art. That's awesome. Good for you.
thank you. Thank you very much.
So, what Nick?
What
Sound like you want to?
what prompted you
That
to get
was
into
gonna
metal
be
art?
my
Ah,
question.
I stole it. I stole it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, wait a minute. What kind of anvil do you have?
Oh, you fucker.
Kind of what? What did you say?
That's
What
my
kind of anvil?
question again?
I know, sorry, I had to do it. I had to do it,
Yeah.
sorry, man. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go back to where. So, what brought you into the art world, bud? How'd this get going?
So, like I said before, started out working oil field construction. I started working in a pipe shop in grade 10. Would have been about
Wow.
16 years old then. Right after high school, went to Nate, got my journeyman Red Seal welding ticket.
Shout out to
And
Nate.
what's that?
Shout out
Shout
to
out to Nate.
Nate. Fuck yeah,
Yeah,
Nate.
that's right. I finished up at Red Deer College actually. I did my third year in
Yeah.
Red Deer.
Right on.
And then when I had my daughter in 2019, obviously couldn't work on the road anymore. That wasn't working out so good. But I knew I wasn't really ready to give up, my welding career. Still loved working, welding and whatnot. But I also wanted to be home with my daughter. So knew I had to figure something else out. So I actually wasn't incorporated yet at this time, but I started just building shit in my garage, like steel table legs, table bases, everything from like metal furniture. I dabbled like a bit in the art. I started doing like, I don't know, those cutlery birds or whatever.
Oh
Just like
yeah.
anything I could do. Yeah, basically just started welding in my garage and selling shit online and to people I know.
I know this story well, bud. I know this
And
story well.
that Yeah,
sounds
you're just
like
like
so many people.
trying to make it happen, but it's like
Sounds
such
like
a
this
hard.
guy.
Yeah, right? Because that's the
Yeah.
dream, to be able to,
Yeah.
work for yourself, work at home, do something you're passionate about is like, I would
100%.
say, living the dream. So
Yeah.
it wasn't up until, I would say, honestly, a year ago that things like really started happening. To be fair, though, I had another baby in between. I was pretty busy right there, just having young kids.
Yeah, dude. That's a lot of life right there, man. Two
Yeah.
kids,
Hell
pretty
yeah.
close in age to each other, like, and you're running a business, girl. Fuck. Damn.
Lot for sure.
Yeah.
Drink a lot of beer in the night.
Yeah.
Cheers to
So yeah, I think my first big project that kind of started picking up pace was that big cutlery, like mallard duck. So up until that point, I had not done, I welded like horseshoe reindeer and like, shit like that. just super amateur stuff. And then,
but it's sold, right?
Yeah, it's sold. Someone asked me to do this, a mallard duck, and I had no idea. Like, I've never done any schooling for art, right? I know how to weld, though, and I know how to grind and kind of that whole thing. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I can do that. So
not knowing if you could.
Yeah, I had no idea if I could. Went into the garage, and, like, I get asked all the time, like, what's your, you know, like, do you make a plan? Do you sketch something out? No, I can't draw. I can't draw or shit. Can't draw at all. I look at pictures on the internet, though, right? Like Google mallard duck from front view, back view. So basically just look at pictures on my phone and then go to town. Start, like, you know, welding shit together, cutting it, grinding it.
Oh, we can hang, girl. Sounds like a similar story over here, man.
Yeah, just winging it, literally.
Pretty much. My drawing skills, I'm in the same boat as you. I suck at drawing as far as I'm concerned. I wish I was better at it, but...
It's like a different part of the brain. It has to be. Yeah.
But what about...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. You do a lot of... you go ahead. Yeah, it's very Canadian. You do a lot of nature and animals and stuff like that. And I know that you're a hunter. Because you're a hunter, does that give you an insight on more of the delicate details of some of these animals? Because I see that pike that you did. And wow, that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I mean, but like being that close to it, like you got the detail of the skin on that fish. And it's just, it's amazing. So does that help you out?
Absolutely. I would say, because right, that's kind of the stuff that I'm around. I mean, for someone who's never fished or hunted, it would definitely be a lot harder to figure that out. Because it's not only, I just recently did that big raven sculpture. And Brock, the guy who commissioned me to do that, he complimented me on like the behavioral, like, you know, position kind of the animals.
Right.
That I
mean.
Yeah.
Like, you can get the shape, but like sometimes I'll build something and like something's not 100%. Like, and I'll stare at it for hours and hours and hours. And sometimes it'll just be like a slight, like the way the eyes are shaped. You know what I mean? To give it like that realistic look. So like for the fish, like how it's curved and like, you know, where the eyes sit and how they look. But I would say, just
even where the lure is in its mouth.
Yeah, doing that most of my life. It's like I've been around these kind of things, so I recognize like the small details, I guess.
Yeah.
See, Nick, I told you it was going to work.
Oh,
I had an absolute crap day. I am smiling from ear to ear right now. This shit makes me happy right here.
I knew that was going to pick up right up there, but I knew it was.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't pick me up too much. I'm feeling an emotional imbalance at the moment.
Oh, no. You need another sip of beer, bud. Another sip of beer.
A couple.
Yeah. Get it in, yeah.
So what about design in all of your aspects of art? It's not where you came from is the art world, but you played a lot with pipe in your background. There was obviously some design in that aspect. Did you have, like, did you do a lot of design in that world and brought that over into art, do you find? Or how, explain that a little bit to me.
Absolutely. I mean, I think all my experience leading up to this point definitely, right, contributes as a whole. And, like, everything I learned in my apprenticeship. And honestly, even, like, obviously all the welding that I did. I did a lot of stick welding throughout my, like, trade and then, yeah, I did a bit of MIG, but I think like working in a pipe shop, working on a table, you're like putting pipe mods together and right, you're building stuff, looking at drawing. So I think I do use some of that knowledge and like apply it to my art. So I'm not like a sketch artist, but how I build my stuff and kind of shape it. And I do use, like, I do measure quite a bit to get like the anatomy right, like where the eyes sit, where I know some artists maybe don't do that part of it. Maybe they do.
No, for sure. No, yeah. No, that's...
So yeah, I think my background, for sure, I do use that and apply it to my art. For sure.
I kind of wondered about that because I know with the pipe, you have to be pretty intricate with the way you lay things out. You can't be off on a lot of your angles, and you're having to bevel your pipes to meet each other in the proper angles and stuff like that. So there's a lot of thought that goes into that kind of stuff. And that exists in the pipe industry. That doesn't exist in a lot of other industries. You're not, unless you're doing like exhaust work or something like that, which is essentially the pipe industry, just at a different level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
even like the grinding, like you mentioned, the beveling of pipe, like I did a shit ton of grinding throughout my apprenticeship and like as a journeyman welder, but even that is like half of what I do now is like grinding and like all those details. It really is like a lot of people who maybe haven't, you know, used an angle grind or whatever, maybe don't realize there is like a lot of skill involved just in like getting that shiny finish, or right, like if someone who's never picked up an angle grinder tries keeping to do it even that.
You know, keeping it even too,
right?
You know, that's
I'm thinking that exact same thing. Like on a pipe, you got to lay like what, like a 3/8 bevel around the entire ring, and it's got to be like a perfect bevel, right? You don't want that takes skill right there, man, and getting to learn how to use the angle grinder like that. Like, shout out to the right angle grinder community right there.
Hell yeah, angle grinder. That's like my one big tool, like right hand man right there.
Oh, tell me about your tool. Tools. We're there already. A little quick this time, ladies and gentlemen, but I've been wanting to ask this already, man. I want to know about your tools. What kind of welders are you running in your shop?
I have a Lincoln MIGPAC 180 right here. And this bad boy is nothing special. I think you can buy her for under $1,000. But this is the only welder I've like owned. This is my starter welder, but it's been running. Yeah. Got me this far. So it just
running
does
like
Yeah, and I've had like zero issues with it in the past, I don't know, 3.5 years that I've been doing this.
Nice.
And like quite a few rolls of wire through there. But I will be getting a multi-process pretty soon. I would like to start dabbling in more TIG welding.
Yeah.
Start doing like different kinds of metals, right, besides steel and stainless. So.
Yeah.
You need a TIG welder for sure.
Yeah.
For what you do.
Yeah, like, I think it'll like up my game, up the art game for sure.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of other fancy tools are you running in your shop?
You're going to be so disappointed when I give you the list of my tools. I think like people who see my art, they're like, oh, she must, you know, be set up with the fancy shit. But I just got a plasma cutter, like a handheld plasma cutter a year ago. So I got the Hypertherm Power Max 30 XP.
Nice.
Up until then, though, I cut everything with a zip disc on my angle grinder. Like, I do have I have oxyacetylene, but I gotta get it all set up in here. But I didn't really use it a ton because we were living in St. Albert and it was just like super messy. And honestly, I just found it easier to like, for what I was doing, use my zip disc. But that Hypertherm plasma cutter has been such a game changer. Like for anyone who's doing what I'm doing, highly recommend. Definitely worth the money.
Yeah. Very cool.
And then my angle grinder, boys. That's the big one.
Wait.
And a hammer. Just like a regular
hammer.
I don't have an anvil. That's my next purchase.
Oh.
Or anything that resembles like an anvil like something? A big chunk of metal that you can hammer on?
If you could, like, watch me build my shit, you'd be like, oh. No,
what about
a
good bench vise? You got a nice good bench vise, at least, or something like that?
Yes, I do have a nice bench vise. I got it. I asked for it for Mother's Day a couple years ago. Nice. Women ask for, like, purses and jewelry. I asked for a vise.
I get it, man. Totally.
There you go.
That's awesome. Super awesome.
Leg vise?
C-clamps and all, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got all the I just don't have any big. Like, I want a CNC machine one of these days in 10 years when I can afford one.
I hear that. I've been wanting to jump on this. Man, we sold our house and moved into this house. And during that whole process, I kind of had a little bit of money to play with, and I bought a couple things. And I like look back on that. I should have not bought anything and just gone straight to a table and just, yeah, it's a moneymaker.
Yeah. 100%. Well, actually, we're looking at an Arc Droid. Have you heard of these things? They're relatively cheap. You don't need an AutoCAD program to run it. And it's just got a robotic arm. You use a stylus to trace out your pattern, whatever you want to cut. Put your metal on the thing, and it works with any plasma cutter, any handheld plasma cutter, and it's I think it's about $5,000.
But it'll still take DXF files as well, or
and it'll save your files as you do them. You know, as you trace them.
A lot cheaper than like the full CNC setup for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys do the FabTech thing there, the Canadian version? Have you ever done that?
No, I never have.
It was in Winnipeg a few years ago, so I've done it once before, and it's pretty cool because you get 50 different vendors that come in to show off or whatever. It was in Toronto last summer. I'm not too sure where it's going to be this summer. I highly recommend that though. If you're in the welding industry, check out the Canadian FabTech. It's stellar, man. They're wicked awesome vendors in there. Go check out Webb Miller, ESAB, Lincoln, Hypertherm, all these. Walter was there. Ferd was there. Klingspor was there, all these different companies. And you know, for the welding industry, it's the crossover to the blacksmithing industry is direct, right? So,
yeah.
Sure.
Your hammer, what's your favorite hammer, buddy? What are you using? That's a question. Yeah, no, that's a question that comes from the blacksmithing world. That is our friend Old Soldier Toolworks that always asks that question. The claw hammer. Holy fuck, girl.
An East Wing claw hammer.
You're gonna be so disappointed. I have like
okay, Nick Verbray, my man, if you're listening to this, get on it. Make this girl a hammer. She needs a hammer more than anybody else we've talked to yet.
I need an anvil, and a hammer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have the space, though. I was literally working in, like, the corner of my double garage, like, one little corner. I just moved into my new shop here, so it's... Now I can get a new hammer. I got...
Yeah. And an anvil. And an anvil.
And an anvil, yeah. That's right.
You mean... a new hammer. You need to get yourself a rack of hammers, girl.
Oh,
you need to start exploring this blacksmith world.
Yeah,
I do want to start getting more into like the forging. Like, I'd even like to get like a forging oven in here, but
oh, fuck yeah,
yeah,
take a few courses for sure.
I don't think so. No way. I never took any, I just started going to town. And you can pick up a decent forge from Princess Auto for an all right price. You can make your own for freaking... It's dirt cheap to make your own and easy.
Sean Cunningham at Front Step Forge makes an amazing forge.
Really good forge.
And it's less than Princess Auto.
Yeah, good price point for his forge for sure.
Yeah. Man, I make a ton of Damascus in his forge.
Here's a shout out right now to our man Brian House from Houseworks. Yep. Dude, house built, right? No, I'm getting Butler and him mixed up.
He makes an amazing Apollo ribbon forge. Burner. Yeah. Dude,
the whole forge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. And he sold out within like the first 8 hours of releasing it. He had, I think it was 50 items available, and they were sold out within 80 hours. Or 8 hours. Yeah. Or 80 hours.
He made one for Jason Knight, too, which is really cool.
A Pickles got one. Tobin.
Yeah.
You just need to get yourself immersed in the community of blacksmiths, bud. It's crazy how fast. By mingling with the people, how fast you pick up skills and knowledge that is directly transferable to what you do versus trying to watch like 1,000 YouTube videos or going. One of the biggest things you can do is going and taking a lesson from somebody, like a beginner lesson. Like, spikes you up right fast for sure. Yeah, first. Like I took YouTube University when it comes to my blacksmithing. It paved the road for me, but
yeah, I just need to start, I think, like dive right in, start experimenting with stuff. And
yeah, fuck. Do what, there's lots of people that started off playing in like makeshift forges, like charcoal and coal. Charcoal is the easy, you can go to the freaking, you know, local Canadian Tire there, Ukrainian Tire is like we like to call it in our family there. Head on down to the local Yuki Tire there and get yourself a bag of charcoal, and you throw it in a little bit of you know, barbecue whatever, and throw a blower to it. Yeah, it doesn't have to, you can use a freaking rotor from a truck or something like that, or anything that's essentially, you could dig a hole in the ground and put a blower to it. As long as you've got forced air going into it, you don't want too much forced air with charcoal, because then you're going to get sparks spraying you in the face.
Yeah.
But you want a decent, if you can control the amount of air with like a gate of some sort, that's your best bet right there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you just, you know how charcoal lights up, right? You're a barbecuer, I'm sure. You're a hunter, so I'm sure you're eating that stuff too. And
barbecue.
Right, fucking pit boss right there. And then, so you freaking while you're cooking yourself up a nice big juicy venison steak, you know, freaking could be foraging at the same time.
There we go. Yeah.
Not recommended.
No. Oh,
different different temperature grade there.
Yeah.
Burn your steak or not get your steel hot enough.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's. Why not play around?
Well, it does go hand in hand, especially with the art. Yeah. Right? Like,
so useful for stuff like working sheet metal, for being able to shape sheet metal so much faster and more, like more definition to every hit you do with your hammer
versus cold steel.
You know what what I just realized? We're giving this amazing artist. Like advice on how to do her job.
No, but I mean, there's different ways to do it, and like,
oh, for sure, for sure. And
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Using a forge and anvil, and you're able to shape and create more depth in some of your work, which yours doesn't need. I mean, that doll sheep that you did is amazing. I mean, it looks like a silver doll sheep. It's amazing. So, yeah.
How are you shaping your steel right now? What's the techniques that you'll go towards?
So, the old claw hammer right here.
put something underneath.
Honestly, most of my shaping comes from like the welding and then grinding down, welding, grinding. Like I'll layer with the welds. That's kind of like my process, I guess. But for doing, like, I hope to one day be doing bigger scale sculptures, right? So that's when these different techniques will come in handy, because that would take fucking forever to build something.
You
were
doing
the way I do it.
Yeah, you're doing it in the way that I always, like, it was almost a nightmare for me to think of doing art in the way you're doing it, because it's that's tedious as fuck, dude.
It is, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, good for
you. It is
tedious,
but like at the same time, I love what I do. I really do. And it's, for some people, they're like, oh my God, like how you go in there every day and like work on the same thing. And it's like, I truly do. Like some projects are super fucking annoying.
But for the most part,
I love the process and like love, you know, being able to create shit like that.
I think the reason that you are able to get so detailed is because you're doing it so tediously. You're working on one little section at a time and you're getting it perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why your art is so detailed and amazing and just lifelike.
It's to try to do that with blacksmithing is a completely different game, dude.
Oh,
so much different. Like, you combine what you're doing with blacksmithing, watch the fuck out, girl. Like,
look out, girls.
Yeah. Well, you're reminding me a lot of Leah Aparach that recently got into blacksmithing as well. I don't know if that name rings.
I follow her. She does like the kind of like alien monster.
Fuck yeah. Right.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable.
And she does it via the same process you're talking about, build up and removal and whatnot, right?
Yeah, hers are like so detailed. Though I have been like looking at her stuff, like how does she do that? Because hers are like even more so like crazy detailed. She's unbelievable.
I think that's the TIG welder coming out there. I think that's what a lot of that
it's
is.
It's cleaner too, right? Like less spatter. And
yeah. And then you start getting into something like a Fordham grinder where you get like the little tiny handheld grinder that's foot pedaled.
Oh, okay.
For detail work. Fuck, yeah. There was one for sale on Marketplace and I asked the lady, like, you know, where do I meet you? And no response. I was like, damn, it was a good price too.
Like how much do those go for?
I want to say they're like $200 for a brand new unit.
Yeah, like similar as any other grinder, I guess you'd.
Well, it's very similar to the Dremel tool, but
like a die grinder.
But better because you can control its speed with a foot pedal.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a smaller unit, handheld unit versus like a big freaking die grinder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to. I know there's so many tools, right? It's more just make it like if I can get by kind of with what I have right now, build up your revenue and then start, you know, purchasing some of these tools.
Oh, man.
See, I just have a tool addiction. If I see a tool, I just buy it. And then,
No self-control.
Yeah, I'm getting shit from my wife and then we just move on. That's how it works. Yeah. All I really have to say is this is going to make us money. Oh, okay. Then we're gone. Then we're all
right. Right.
Yeah.
That's like the CNC machine, right? It's like if you know you'll make it back.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
get the machine, know how to work it, and then
That's not a blatant lie. The CNC machine you know is going to make money. All these other things that Nick is talking about, those are all, it's all lies when he says it's going to make money.
Yeah, we know.
I convinced her that my power hammer was going to make us money, and now it's making us money. We're making
it. Well, it is, right. It hasn't worked so well for my wife. Eventually, the response came out, oh yeah, when?
Yeah. Good response, I guess.
Hey, it pays your soul, man. It pays your soul.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Can't put a price on that. You can't put a
Does
price
that have any
on.
Traction with your wife?
You guys need to go have a conversation with my wife. No, she gets it, man. She totally gets it. She's solid and she supports it, so.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
You mentioned that you moved to Saskatchewan about a year ago for your husband's work. What does he do? What brought you to Saskatchewan?
So he is an electrician.
Oh, right.
I was shamed the first few years we started dating from all the boys. I was dating an electrician, but we actually have worked a couple jobs together. Before we were dating, we worked in Red Earth together.
You clean up his zip ties that he leaves on the ground, or...?
All the time.
Yeah, I figured. There you go.
And then we worked in Loreburn, Saskatchewan together. His brother is an instrumentation guy, and my brother's a pipe fitter, so we've like all ended up on the same jobs together at times. But yeah, it's good. He wired in like my whole shop here. We did like all skin ourselves and everything but the frame, basically. So,
Wait. You didn't weld the frame for your shop?
Yeah, it's a wood frame. I'm not a carpenter.
What do you got for a shop?
What do I got? Like the size of it?
Yeah.
It's about 24 by 24. Is that 600 square feet? Not huge. But all that I'm doing in here is welding, so it's a good start. The pad was actually poured already when we moved into this place.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of just used the same cement pad. It's crazy expensive now to like pour a concrete pad. It's insane.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
8 foot
it's a huge upgrade from the garage anyway.
Yeah.
8 foot ceiling?
No, these are I think 12 foot.
Nice.
That makes a big difference too. It makes it seem quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot bigger, but it also affects the heating bill, which I found out the hard way with my shop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my old shop was like easy to heat and it was really well insulated. This new shop I'm in, it maybe not as well insulated, definitely not as well insulated for sure. It's got one massive overhead door on it. I think it's a 20 foot overhead door. on one side, and then it's got a 10-foot overhead door on the other side as well. Three windows. And it's like, I've got two infrared heater panels on the ceiling, a 220 heat plug-in heater that I'll run. I can run all three of those heaters full tilt for like 3 hours at minus 10. And it trickles up in heat when I run three of those. If I don't have that 220 heater plugged in, she ain't warming up in there at minus 10. Yeah. It'll struggle to hang at around 8 degrees Celsius.
How big is your shop? What's the square footage of it?
What is it? 26 by 38.
Quite a bit bigger.
28 by 36. Yeah, it's quite a bit bigger with 10-foot ceiling. So there is the space, and it's chock full of steel, which, you know, there's the trick is what I should be doing is just keeping it up to temperature, because the steel retains all the temperature and makes it a lot easier to warm up. Once that steel drops in temperature, the thing that I'm very thankful for is I never drop it below zero in there, because once that steel gets that cold, it starts to build frost on it, and then you warm it up and all that frost turns to condensation, and then all your steel goes to rust.
Yeah.
So I always keep my shop at like 5 degrees plus. But I've learned that my heating, my electrical bill at my old house was like maximum $300 a month. Here, we're looking at like $600 bills per month. It's
ridiculous. Oh, gross.
Doubled.
So gross.
Yeah. And that's in Manitoba. Our electricity, it's cheap. Fucking hydro's cheap in Manitoba, dude. If I lived in Ontario, I'd be fucking puking my guts out for my hydro bills, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like in Saskatchewan for hydro or electrical? Is it with pretty decent rates there?
No, it's gone up the past couple months, like, I don't know. It's pretty expensive, but everything has fucking groceries,
everything,
you know, power, everything. So
you guys are kind of northern Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
Central, northern.
Yeah.
Where's Saskatoon in relation to you?
We're a couple hours west. Yeah, east to Kerr-Albert, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. That's not too shabby then. Saskatoon's a beauty city. Nice and close for you to go over there. There's the reason I asked that. So Tyler Dyes isn't very far from you. He's in Humboldt. He's a full-time blacksmith that does amazing art that you might want to, you know, touch base with him and see if you can stop by his place for a class or something like that. I was going to suggest Dustin Smalls as well, but he's down in the Regina area, so that might be a little bit of a jaunt for you. But Edmonton, dude, freaking Sean Cunningham.
Yeah, go to Nate, take a course with Nate.
Yeah, I'm in Edmonton, the time, like once back to, at least.
Back to Nate.
Yeah. Does he do them like privately or like through Nate? He would do
it's through Nate. Nate. Yeah.
Okay.
It's through
Nate.
No. Yeah, he uses one of their shops and has like an entire like big setup there with a bunch of anvils and forges and stuff. So.
Oh, nice! Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
he's kind of got like a little bit of a curriculum that he does, like level 1, 2, and 3 or something like that.
Pretty okay.
Good. Yeah, and
definitely do that.
He's going to be at the Ice and Skate Festival. Is that what it's called? Coming up here in February 18th, is that what it is?
18th, 19th?
Is that
Saskatoon? No, it's
in Edmonton. Yeah.
I thought it was the Nordic Festival.
Oh, okay.
Something. Yeah, it's, I don't know, some winter festival that Edmonton hosts every winter in February.
I'm like, I should know. I live there my whole life.
I figured you were going to finish a sentence off for me. Thanks. Sean demos at that every year, and there's a gentleman, Roger Ferreira, that it's so weird that I caught on to this, because I saw in one of Roger's posts on Instagram, he was talking to somebody else, and it's all in Spanish, but he said Canada in there, and I was like, for whatever reason, my stupid, I don't know, what you want to call it, ADD or whatever. I was like, I gotta know, why did you say Canada? So I wrote Canada with a question mark. And he responded, I'm gonna be in Edmonton for this thing or whatever. And I was like, oh, no way. Are you going to be hanging out with Sean doing the demo there? And he's like, who's Sean? Are you fuck? You're going to be going to this thing where there's going to be a blacksmithing demo, but that's not what you're going there for. He's going there. He got invited to go to it to do ice sculpture because he makes his own ice sculpting tools as a blacksmith. Okay. But this Sean Cunningham does blacksmithing demos there. So I'm like, you need to hook up with Sean, dude. And he's like, holy fuck. He started messaging each other. And now they're going to be hooking up. Now they're going to be buddies. And I'm like, yes, yes, this is awesome. I might have to come down there now.
That's what's so awesome about, like, it's such a small community. Like, right, welding, blacksmithing, honestly, right, once you're on social media, it's, like, such an awesome community, right? Everyone's, like, for the most part, I'd say looking to help each other out. And
oh, 100%.
I'd say so, yeah.
Worried about your work and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I think it's the Silver Skate Festival.
That's it. You got it,
Silver
buddy.
Silver Skate Festival. Yeah. I've never been to that.
Thank you, Google.
What the hell? Jeez. Yeah. Okay. I got to pick another beer, you guys. That was number 6 was from here.
Nick, all you, buddy.
I'm going to go 8.
8.
Go with 8.
8.
So
that's 8.
Okay.
Oh, Winnipeg. This beer is named after Winnipeg, brewed in Winnipeg by Kilter. Thank you. Prairie Lager. Oh no, it's Winnipeg Prairie Lager. I don't know. A classic lager brewed in Winnipeg for Winnipeg. Proudly brewed with real ingredients from our own backyard on Treaty 1 territory. Local hops, barley, wheat, and water. Yeah, if it came out of the Red River, I don't know if you want to call that water. More like effluent.
I'm drinking a rum that was distilled in Edmonton. Or no, oh, St. Albert. Yeah.
T-Rex. Are you actually drinking it right now?
Yes.
Because last episode, you're like, oh, I'm going to go drink it after now.
No.
Drinking the T-Rex,
yeah.
Eh, buddy?
Yeah, no, it's called Raptor, and the distillery is called T-Rex.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Spiced rum. Yeah.
Do you want to hear the sound of a T-Rex clapping?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was it.
Wow. Dad joke.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, hilarious.
So funny.
Oh, I feel like I heard that might have come from Brian. I don't know. I heard that one recently. So
yeah.
Me and Brian, man, we're back and forth with the dad jokes. He's always throwing them down on his podcast. I gotta be right there beside him, man. Absolute love for that gentleman, man. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm thinking we need to get him on the show, dude. I'm gonna be bugging him about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. We need a special somebody to bring in episode 100, and that's coming up soon.
Ooh. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I've seen you did Kevin Stone. I listened to that podcast actually yesterday, but yeah, his stuff is like, not that he needs a shout out, but shout out Kevin Stone.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Isn't he amazing?
He's got way more followers than I do, but pretty unbelievable. Just like the scale that he does his stuff on.
It's amazing stuff.
And
yeah.
It's still so detailed and intricate, right? He like didn't lose any detail. It stayed like.
Do you think that you'll do big stuff like that at some point?
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's definitely like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, I'm only doing this stuff right now because it's what I get commissioned to do, right? I mean, I'll do as big as anyone commissions me to do. It's just not worth my time, right? If you don't have like a buyer for something like that, I'm not just going to go, spend 600 hours on a piece that isn't for sale or isn't sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a scrap metal junkie at all?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I love... Well, what welder doesn't love scrap metal? Dylan hates it. Just like shit laying everywhere.
Yeah,
I can't throw anything away. It's like, I will definitely weld this into something. Every nut, bolt. And...
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got tons of that shit. How about you?
I'm pretty sure Sean Cunningham has a picture of a guy diving into like a dumpster, leg sticking out, and the caption on it is "Blacksmith in his natural environment."
Yeah, that's right. I actually have a bunch of people that bring me junk. Like, you should see the scrap pile in my shop. It's
well,
it's
that
massive.
Is that
we need,
too, like,
we need to get a bigger shop because most of it's scrap pile inside my shop now.
Sometimes though, you're like, that's too, like, I don't actually want that. You know, sometimes people can bring you stuff and you're like, eh, I don't want to start being picky, but.
So.
That's a hanger. It's like a metal hanger.
I've recently started putting certain items to the actual scrap bin at my place.
Yeah.
I've also got a little bit of a hookup for some scrap metal that's completely unusable as far as I'm concerned. Like, this is, I'm talking about like absolute trash scrap metal. It's a company next to where I work, and they let me, they throw it like almost every day, they throw it a little bit. It's like, oh, take this, throw it in the scrap bin at home. Once that scrap bin gets full, take it, empty it, make a few bucks, right?
Yeah.
If you're just throwing that steel away and it's going to the landfill, like, scrapyards will pay you for that stuff, man. Like, hold on to it in a 50-gallon barrel or whatever, 45-gallon drum. Once that drum's full, take that drum in and make $20 or $30 and go buy a case of beer.
Do they just weigh it, or do they don't like sort through it? They just weigh.
No.
Well, it depends. Unless you've got, if you got copper or stainless in there, you want to separate that, or aluminum. Yeah. But basic, and even your grinding dust, dude. I put all of my, everything I sweep up in my garage goes into my scrap bin, dude. It's all scrap metal, dude.
It was, last time I checked, it was $230 some bucks a ton. So
$270 a ton here now.
Really? $270 a ton.
It was $180 a ton like a month ago. It jumped up to $270, and I've never seen it jump that fast either. And at this time of year, I'm like, wow, $270 is like, that's like summer prices, man. What's summer gonna bring? Yeah, I know my scrap a little bit too much. It's kind of sickening, to be honest. I blame a guy that I work with. He got me into it. He used to come to work every day in this beater truck, and he would have old like hot water tanks or washers in there. And I asked him, like, what's the deal, dude? And he's like, oh man, I make my freaking extra spending money doing this. I'm like, doing what? And he gave me the deal on, you know, people throw out their washers and dryers. I pick them up. I take them into the scrapyard, and yeah, my truck's beat up, but that's why I've got a beat up truck, is specifically to do this shit. And I'm like, well,
there you go. Like,
I got a way to make a little bit of side coin. Cool. Right on.
One of my best friends is a scrap guy. Loves scrap. And he's actually from Maidstone. So shout out to Saskatchewan there. My buddy Jody, he has brought me so much scrap. It's unbelievable. So much, you know, steel that I've made into things. I mean, it's been crazy. But some of it's gone to the recyclers now too.
But it is, that's the best thing about like metal, right? Steel is like, because most of what I use, and you maybe won't be able to tell at the end of the project once you've shined it up, but it's like you have this dog shit trash looking metal, right? Rusted shit, and you clean it up, make it look brand new. It's amazing. That's like
even some of that deep pitting looks really cool when you know.
It adds to it.
Yeah, it's got texture. It's got life to it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? This is a great opportunity for us to bring up Maritime Knife Supply, because we're talking about all this used steel. But if you want to get yourself new, good knife-making material, Maritime Knife Supply is your place to go. You can head on over to maritimeknifesupply.ca. They've got everything you need as a knife maker as far as tool steel goes. Grinding belts, buy 10, you'll get one for free. That's a savings of 10%. It's a wicked deal. You can't go wrong there. Awesome fast shipping across all of North America. And we can save you guys $100 if you use the code FSCKILN on checkout when you're purchasing an Even Heat or a Paragon Kiln. So the number one way to step up your game as a knife maker, jump into the heat treating world, go with either a Paragon or an Even Heat. You can't go wrong. Use the code FSCKILN on checkout. Save yourself $100. You can thank me later. Paul Lawrence, we said, hey, good day, take care, good day, bye, take off, poser.
Hey, speaking of Maritime Knife Supply, you can get wrought iron at Maritime Knife Supply.
You can.
Have you ever worked with wrought iron?
No. Yeah. Nope. No.
That's a different beast.
Yeah.
But now I will. I'm into it.
Now, as a welder, how much this is, because as a welder, we didn't talk about wrought iron. Wrought iron was like kind of like this like mystery to us that we didn't, was like, what do you mean wrought iron? No one does wrought iron anymore, right?
No, not, yeah, never. I mean, I don't think I ever really came across it in my apprenticeship even. Like,
that's what I was going to ask you. Have you ever?
Pipeline, right? It's like you're not using wrought iron.
I don't think for a welder to come across wrought iron is like good fucking luck. And number the second part to it is good fucking luck welding it as a welder.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to weld.
Yeah, like, why would I want to weld fucking wrought iron?
Yeah.
Why do I want to be around it?
But there's a lot, you're going to see lots of it probably because, I mean, every scrap pile has an old wagon tire.
Oh yeah,
it's a match with chock full of that shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now every cousin's throwing out their other cousin's wagon tire.
It's really cool when you start taking off those layers and you etch it a little bit and all those different patterns come out of it. It's really cool stuff
for sure. And I mean, for like doing the art stuff, I mean, pretty much the sky's the limit and like. There's no rules and regulations like how to weld something or do you know what I mean? Which is like half the fun. So I'll have to when I get my kiln and my, you know, all
your
that
forge,
shit.
My hammer forge. And anvil. Yeah. Get some tongs.
Get a big lift now. Thank you.
Have you ever tried playing around with different welding wires on the same piece to get like a different contrast in things?
Not like so with MIG welding, I need a TIG welder basically to like start doing that kind of stuff, unless you're brazing. But for me, like, pretty much stainless I'm limited to and mild steel right now.
But once
I get that TIG welder, I can start adding in copper, bronze, brass, you know, like just so much more I can do and will once I better make a list for Dylan. Hey, a new welder.
So if you were going to go get a TIG welder, what would you get?
I would definitely get another Lincoln. I mean, I have looked at ESAB. Yeah. Do you guys know, or have you heard of anyone who uses ESAB? They're like pretty or newer, aren't they? I mean.
Well, no, ESAB's like old school, for
they're
sure.
They're not popular.
They're not that popular,
Like it's like Miller, European. Lincoln.
Pretty much.
Yeah. They're
especially when you go
really
over
big
the
in
field.
Europe.
Yeah,
bigger in Europe.
Yeah.
I know their optimum hood was like recommended as being one of the best hoods in the industry, or their lid. Sorry, hood lid, whatever. Sorry.
Those are super nice. I haven't used one, but I worked with a welder who had one. They're pricey though. They have high price tag on those.
Well, frick, I've got the 3M 9100 XX, the with the air pack filtration system on it.
Oh yeah, is that supplied air?
Yeah, well, it's self-supplied air.
Okay.
Right, it does it you can hook it up to shop air as well if your shop has a hookup for it. You can just unhook it from the battery pack and hook it up to shop air as well. Okay. Which like that's fucking bee's knees right there for show.
Yeah.
But $3,000 for that helmet, dude, with the battery pack.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I was pregnant, actually, I did look at those, but that's insane. Like, it's crazy. I did buy that fume extractor, though, recently. I don't know if you guys seen that in my post, but.
Oh, dude, the fume extractor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a gnarly thing to have.
It is. And, like, especially in such, I don't know, such small space, right? It doesn't take much. To smoke it out. And I don't actually have a garage door on this thing yet. We're gonna put one in next year. We did like cover it up anyway. I just have a door. So I'm not gonna, in the winter, you're not gonna have your door open all day working in minus 30. So
yeah,
this thing's awesome. It's like self-filtered too. The filters are crazy expensive, but I think it's like 40 or 50 pounds wire you can go through before you have to change the filter. So for what I'm doing, pretty slick.
Yeah.
Well, the nice thing about one of those too is it's not exhausting the air outside. It's just circulating the air within the shop, so you're not going to lose any of your heat within the shop from that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Good for the lungs. The lungs are happy.
Fuck yeah. Do you ever wear a respirator? Was that like a big thing before you got that?
No. So until I got pregnant, yeah, it was like honestly safety and like my whole apprenticeship, like nobody wore a respirator. I don't know if it was the same for you guys, but
safety third.
None of my welders. Yeah, like nobody wore that. And if you did wear one, like you're a loser. But when I got pregnant, I started wearing one. And now I like can't not wear one. Just the difference, you like blow your nose at the end of the day. You know, without one, it's just black.
That's every day for me.
Can't be good. Can't be healthy. Wear a
but doesn't feel right unless you're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need the enjoyment. The enjoyment of pulling out those massive black boogers is just like, that was a good day.
Until, I don't know. Until having kids, I'm like, I got to be here. You know, I can't.
No, I get that, dude. I mean, if you don't work in a shop that has crazy amounts of grinding and welding going on it for a while, like, you know, you do it for a while, you get used to it, whatever, then you don't do it for a while, and then you go back to it again, and it's like, for some odd reason, that first go, you get used to it, and it's like, yep, I got used to this, I can do this, I'm blue collar. Then you walk away from it, and you come back to it, and it's like, why the fuck did I do that?
Oh, yeah, and that's just it, like, I worked in, that was like fairly small pipe shop, like, during my apprenticeship doing just structural, and it's like, just no air filtration, like the air, you can't even see across the room, it's so smoky, grinding all day, it's like, it's amazing what you get used to, though.
Yeah.
Like, just another day, day in the life.
Yeah.
Good times.
So we say. I gotta kind of wonder, man, if you were to like look back into your youth a little bit, what do you think brought you into the artistic side of stuff? Was there anything in your younger years that you think maybe kind of brought you towards this?
I think like just because I can't draw or whatever doesn't mean I wasn't at all artistic. As a kid, I definitely was more artistic versus like technical. It was always in me. I just never pursued it or didn't have like, you know, a chance to, like, right, I got into welding and I don't know, I feel like everyone has kind of a talent in them, but if there's, you know, not a chance for you to pursue it or for that side to come out, then I don't know. I was just lucky enough that I took a chance on it. Honestly, just lucked out. Like, I could have taken a chance and been dog shit at making art sculptures. I mean, it just worked out. But yeah, I don't know what like led me to this. I don't know. I've always enjoyed art. I think just the fact that I tried it and turned out to be pretty good at it. Also, when you're good at things, you want to do them. And I don't know. Sorry, I didn't answer that very well, but it's kind of a tough question.
Definitely.
So you started in a pipe shop. Started in a pipe shop at 16. What was your desire to get into the pipe shop? What makes a 16-year-old girl say, "Hey, I want to go work in a pipe shop"?
I want to be a welder. So my dad always worked oil field construction, as I mentioned previously. And my original plan, so I knew I wanted to take a trade. I like grew up on an acreage outside of town, 20 minutes from town. So always, like, we were always working. We had, like, we didn't have cows at one point, but we were always doing chores outside and working. And, you know, as a teenager, to do anything or get anywhere, you need a vehicle. You need money to buy a vehicle. So I always loved the idea of, like, right out of high school, making good money. Like, the idea of university kind of just never, I don't know, never appealed to me. And then my original plan was to go and get my level one and be like, you know, get into the welding inspection. And I guess that was, I don't know, through my stepdad more than anything, right? Usually what your parents do kind of rubs off on you.
Yep.
He did very well in the oil field. So obviously I took a kind of a liking to it as well. My grandpa, like on my stepdad's dad, he was a welder. So I don't know, I guess it's what you're around, right? My brother went into mechanical engineering, pipe fitting. So it's just what I was around. And then there was a shop like right down the road from school.
Wait, and you have a brother? Is your brother a mechanical engineer now?
So he actually, he took his mechanical engineering, but then got a job as a, like on as a fitter.
So okay. He
got his pipe fitting ticket and then started doing like super well with that. So he never did. He has it, but he doesn't like,
he doesn't
dude.
All, like pipe fitting right now.
I just
always will.
Instant thought in my head was how amazing would it be to have that family circle of a brother that's an engineer that can write off freaking drawings for you and stuff like
that. Oh yeah, no, sorry, Steve-O. He's not that kind of engineer.
Well, mechanical engineer is like basic level, right? Where sign off drawings a little bit different, but yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would have been nice.
Fuck yeah. Sorry, I interrupted. I apologize.
No, you're good. What was like? How did I get into it? Was that, or why did I want to be a welder?
Yes.
So, are you guys familiar with the RAP registered apprentice program? I don't know if that's like just in Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different in Manitoba for sure. We discussed this on the CWB podcast. Me and Max were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you can find, Jen, you had an episode on there. You were episode 96, and I was episode 98. Head on over to the CWB podcast with Max Cerrone and check that out, because there's some excellent content there for the welders out there. And once again, crossover to the blacksmithing world is direct. So blacksmiths, check it out too. Sorry.
This guy, hey?
Welcome to my brain. Scatter, scatter, scatter.
Yeah, and I've lost where it was. No, the RAP program. So
yeah.
I like decided basically grade 10. I honestly, the big thing was that I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like some people are like, I'm going into business, or, you know, I'm going into law. I did not know what I wanted to do, and I didn't want to take a year off and just like sit, and, you know, I wanted to do something. So I couldn't commit, I guess, to something like long-term university. I didn't want to just go to school for 4 years and like, you know, toward nothing. So that's, I guess, why the trades were a bit more appealing, because it was like, you know, way less schooling, way less expensive. You're not dropping thousands of dollars on something you might not want to do.
Making money right out of the gate, right?
Exactly. So
the best way it was put to me is, at least in the long run, you'll know how to weld.
Exactly. Yeah, you have a skilled trade. Yeah. You know, it's like, that'll always be useful.
Fuck yeah.
So, yeah, talking to the counselors, they kind of dropped this program on me where you can get your high school credits and then still get paid. Like, you have your work in a regular job anyway, might as well get high school credits and then, you know, hours toward the apprenticeship. So, started on just as a laborer at the shop, and that's kind of the first time I, like, was around the welding. I was around, like, pipe fitting, but wasn't really interested. First time I like laid a bead, I was like, boom, this is it. Fucking love this shit.
Take me back to those first few days though. Okay, now.
As a laborer.
And no offense, as a female in the industry, getting into the first few days, do you remember what that was like? How nervous you were? And
well, I was young too, right? Like, I'm 16 years old in high school. I was pretty lucky because small town, like most everyone, like a community, a small community, right? So it's like the guys were pretty good at this shop, but you're still the only girl. I think at one point there was like girl, maybe we had like a one other girl. She was a fitter, but I think when I first came, I was the only girl in the shop, right? In the office, there was girls. super intimidating, as you can imagine going in, and they're all older than me. And then also just more intimidating because you're starting out fresh. Like, I don't know anything about anything. But yeah, I don't know what else, what other words besides intimidating and
for sure. But, no.
I don't know, seemed to like get along with the boys and one of the boys.
The boys.
Yeah.
One of the boys. Yeah. Yeah.
The boys. Okay. You gotta say it with the maritime accent. The boys.
The boys. I was could work very hard and have like a good work ethic. I think that's what's gotten me this far, right?
You have to in the blue collar industry, as your hat says. Fuck yeah. What's with the toque? What's that company that you're dealing with?
Troll Clothing.
Is that what that is?
Troll Clothing. Yeah, they're deadly.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome toque.
Yeah, I love their page too, how they just post, like, you know, they don't just post the product, but they post, like, everybody who's wearing it and, you know.
Yeah.
All the blue collar workers. It's good.
And if you check out Jen's Instagram, Troll Clothing is the link is right there on the top of your page.
Yeah, use my code.
Yep.
What's the
What's
code?
What's your code?
MMD10, Metal Monkey Design 10. Yeah.
Nice. Save 10%.
MMD10. Save 10%.
Beauty.
Yeah. Right there, right? Yeah.
Just like that. Hit it up, boys.
Hit it up.
So yeah, so you're working in this shop. You're 16 years old. It's intimidating to you. You're getting into it. It's like, to me, at 16 years old, like, I can't imagine getting into a shop at 16 years old. Like, I grew up sheltered, like, big time, dude. Like, my parents were like, you're not allowed to get a job. And when I did get, my first job was retail, dude.
My parents are like, get a fucking job. Yeah, you can drive now and get a job.
Well, my parents are like, you need to focus on your school. You're not allowed. Can I get a job as a dishwasher or something? No, focus on your school. Yeah, that worked real well.
Yeah, I was going to say, and now you're a blacksmith.
Well, I'm a welder. Come on now. Yeah. I might not be a journeyman welder like you, but it's my actual day job is, like, I was welding today, doing some overhead plug welds. So, yeah, on freaking steel that had a bunch of zinc freaking paint coating that was popping and burning all over the place. And
are
I
you
had
wearing
to
respirator gross. During the zinc? Like, zinc
oh yeah, chills? Totally, totally wearing my respirator.
Is that not a thing? I've never got zinc chills, but you're supposed to drink milk, I believe.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of BS behind that one, apparently, but I don't know.
Is there?
Yeah. So okay, maybe I've just gotten used to the zinc chills. I don't know.
Zinc.
But like, I've been told like certain things, like copper, for example. Like TIG welding copper releases zinc fumes, and you gotta be super careful about that. Make sure you wear your respirator. Fuck, I TIG welded copper for like 4 hours and was like, I have my exhaust running, right? But I wasn't wearing my respirator. I have an exhaust system in the in my shop that sucks in fresh air and disperses it outside, the rest outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the thing is, I'm watching out the corner of my hood. I'm not seeing any smoke coming off this copper. Like, galvanized steel, dude, you throw a piece of galvanized steel in the forge or hit it with a torch or something like that or weld it.
Nah, and shit.
The zinc paint that I was welding on today, same shit. So, yeah, but I got that beautiful helmet that I'm talking about, that I told you about.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no respirator needed. I turn on that on button. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I press that on button. On turns the fan.
Is that heavy, like, wearing that?
you fart into it.
I take it off and die. Yeah, blame it on the guy behind me. And
right, you work a
was it wasn't you, it was the asshole behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I actually do that in the shop all the time. If you take a leaf blower, fart into the leaf blower, it's a fart cannon. It's a fart
cannon.
Really?
Wow.
When your farts are as bad as yours are, Nick.
Learning
so
much.
I got some bad ones. I got some bad ones. There's things that have died inside of me. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Bad.
Good conversation here.
Jen's just like, holy fuck, what is that? What did I sign up for?
Hey, you said you were one of the boys.
No, I'm sure I've heard it all. That's like the other thing too, being young, but just being like a girl in general going in, it's like you got to be able to take some shit. Like, I know there's probably girls that would go in and it's like they're going to probably be going to their boss 6 times a day because what someone said, but you know, it's just like if you're part of the crew, you got to be able to handle a joke and, right? Dish it out, take it. It's like part of the job, I feel. I've heard a lot of shit over the years.
Okay. This is a really good time for me to bring up a couple questions I got. I've got a girl that's a student, if you will. I don't know. She's coming and hanging out at the shop to learn some stuff lately. She wants to know. She's got a couple questions specifically for you. She went and checked out your Instagram. She's like, wow. Okay. Cool. Important practice for welding that you learned but you were never taught.
Practice for welding, like a skill.
That's a good one.
That I wasn't taught. Is that what he's asking?
Yeah,
like a welding something skill that I learned but wasn't taught.
Yeah, like
something that you just figured out yourself.
Either picked up on yourself or maybe somebody showed you in the field.
I would say, I don't know, it's kind of a tough one to answer, but like when you go to school or when you're apprenticing, people will show you like the basic, I don't know, I would say it's not so much like learning something new on my own, it's just like mastering, practicing, and getting better at the skills that you were taught. Does that make any sense? So it's like, it's not like I made up a new way to weld. Do you know what I mean? It's just spending the time working hard on those skills that you were taught, if that makes any sense.
And then just applying them differently or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it depends what we're talking about. Like if we're talking about my art, which that's kind of what we're talking about, like the texturing part of like all my stuff, that is something that is self-taught, right? Like I learned how to weld in school. They show you like the basics of how to MIG weld, stick weld. But like on my art, definitely a lot of it is just like the texturing to get like on the Gorilla to get like the dark and the light. I don't know. Or like spraying it with weld to get the texture. That is self-taught. Right. So I don't know.
They won't teach you that one in school. That's for sure.
In the pipe shop. No. Hey?
Yeah. Did you learn that? Did you learn oxyacetylene welding at all?
No, not oxy welding. Like oxyacetylene cutting, yes, but no, never. There was just never.
I've heard
that in school.
I've heard that they've cut that from the curriculum lately, and I'm so disappointed to hear that because holy fuck, that's important to know that shit, dude.
See, but it is. Yeah. I mean, I never, ever used it or seen it even.
You never will use it. But what you learn from seeing it happen is it does something to your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely don't. Even when did I go to school? I don't know. 6 years ago. And they weren't teaching that then. So.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I went to school.
Did they talk? Did they teach you about MIG at all? TIG? Did you learn about TIG at all at school?
Yeah, we did like all the processes. So stick, MIG, TIG. Yeah. But it's like a week, right? Like I think to get good at anything, you're not getting good in school. You're learning basics, and then it's like when you're in the field, that is when you're actually welding and working on this stuff, right? Like no one's getting good in 8 weeks of school.
Well, I see this is where Manitoba is doing it so much differently than Alberta. And I don't know if it's necessarily the better way to do it because Alberta pushes you into the industry really quick, which pushes you into learning like hands-on experience, which is really, really good to get that. Like that pushes you big time. But kind of not necessarily perfecting your skills, but like honing them in a lot more than what Alberta. I think BC is on the same track as Alberta as well with their apprenticeship program. I'm not too sure where Saskatchewan is, but I know for sure me and Max were talking about this. No, Saskatchewan is different as well. Manitoba does it where your first level apprenticeship is 1 year, 10 months in school.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's not fully true because Red River does 2 years in school, full 2 10-month
The States too, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they have similar programs where it's like a couple years of schooling for welding, which I think I totally agree with that versus the 8 weeks. Just like your confidence level after a year versus 8 weeks, right? Like your brand welding.
Oh, 100%.
And for a lot of people, yeah, myself included, like maybe the job you're at, you're not actually welding. Like I was on a fitting table and I was like tack welding for my first year. I wasn't doing like a ton of like great. For some people don't have the opportunity to have a job to go back to after their first year and just be welding. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I totally agree. I think that's awesome. I didn't know that Manitoba did that, but
yeah, like after 1 year of school in Manitoba, I was able to come out of school and be like, I am a welder fitter. I can fabricate anything. I can weld anything. My ability to weld to like perfect dimension might not quite be there. It should be there after what the Manitoba programs push you through, especially Red River's program. The girl that I was telling you about, her name's Rebecca. So Rebecca she just got accepted as, what's it called again? The Women of Welding or something like that. Hold on here. I'll pull it up for you. Women of Steel. So she came to me. She's like, you know, her mom actually reached out on a local group. I'm interested in getting my daughter's interested in getting into welding. Can anybody help out in this for advice? I just reached out. Yep. I'm interested in helping out. Tell your daughter to get in touch with me. We started talking. I was like, come down to the shop. I'll show you stuff. We started talking. I was like, you need to look up MIT women programs. I'm more than positive there's a women's program out there, and they will either help you with your first year of school or they will pay for your first year of school. Guess who just got her first year of school paid for?
Awesome. Yay.
Fuck yeah, really she awesome. Got accepted. Yeah. Today she found out. Congratulations, Rebecca. I don't know if she listens to the podcast or not, but I'm
guarantee
stoked,
she does.
Dude.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is so sweet. Wow.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's great news.
Yeah, congratulations. That's super exciting. And how cool that they have that program.
Well, and that's the other thing. So like, yeah, like I'm showing her stuff, but now that I know she's getting into this program, I'm just like, you're going to like go into this and be like, this guy's a hoser. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm like, I need to walk away now because she's going to figure me out.
Yeah.
No, I actually just said to her too, I was like, you know, like, honestly, now that you're getting into this program, I'm not too sure if you want to continue like spending time with me and learning how to do things the wrong way.
Right.
Because school is going to tell you things that I've taught you. You shouldn't be doing this, like running your angle grinder without a guard and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
Like, do not do that. Well, you know what? Unfortunately,
sometimes
in certain circumstances, you've
got it.
You know it, right?
You've got it.
That's how she said it.
No. Yeah. Did it fall into that one? Set myself up.
There was one earlier. I almost gave it to you too, but I was like,
you
nope.
Jumped on it.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I gave you that one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that's like, I don't even know if that was an option back, 6 years ago, like I said, like when I was just starting getting into the trade. Like, I truly don't think that was an option, or maybe I just didn't know about it. And I think that's what's so great, right? As the years go on, it's just like made so much more available to women to get into the trades. Like, it's becoming more popular, and yeah, it's awesome.
Time to pick another number, boys and girls.
What's your turn, Jen?
All right, let's see. Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
That was this one.
That's the one.
Ooh, I haven't had this one yet. Sweet. This is by Farmery. This is called their Nipa Juicy. Wow. Look at the label on this thing.
I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
That's fucking popping, isn't it? Popping fresh.
Yeah. I like it.
Farmery is a local brewery out of Neepawa, Manitoba. Actually, if you're ever driving through Neepawa, they've got the coolest little restaurant that does fish and chips as part of like their brewery thing.
Nice.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Very cool.
We've got a local blacksmithing group in Manitoba called the Manitoba Blacksmithing Guild. And the gentleman that does all of our treasury work for us, our books, he resides in Neepawa. And he was like, yeah, dude, the fish and chips. And I was like, yeah, dude, the fish and chips. So it was, yeah, a lot of, yeah, dude, back and forth there. That's another thing you should look up. Saskatchewan Blacksmith Association.
Yep.
A great source of good people that are super involved in the blacksmithing world. Obviously they so involved into it that they want to have an association for it, right?
Yeah.
Much like myself. Well,
just to find someone like local, like great, more local to meet up with and kind of learn some stuff would be cool.
Oh, I'm
trying to
definitely
think. There's somebody in North Battlefield, I think. Is that
close? Battleford?
Battlefield. The Battlefield.
You're not wrong. Battlefield? You're not Battleford. Wrong. You're not wrong.
No.
It is a bit of a battlefield.
It's an interesting looking town. I remember driving through there as a kid and just being like, why?
Why? Why is this here?
Yeah, nice. Pretty much. Well, most of Saskatchewan's like that, but
whoa.
It is, yeah. It's just like,
sorry, Jen.
Oh, it's all right. We love it here, though. You know, it's like, it's not much, but we love it.
What's the good old saying about Saskatchewan? The best part of Saskatchewan is leaving.
Oh, wow.
It is a place where you can watch your dog run away for days and days.
Okay, so but northern Saskatchewan
is amazing.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I fully agree. Dude.
Yeah.
Well, because the shield runs through there.
Yeah.
We have a cabin up there, like my in-laws at Chittick Lake, Saskatchewan.
Oh, very cool.
Chittick?
Yeah, Chittick Lake. It's like, I don't know how to explain where it is. A secret location.
Yeah, well, no,
it's
northern
Saskatchewan. But,
no, but
beautiful, beautiful area. Completely different than Sir Albert.
Is it like closer to the Manitoba border?
Like Lloyd Minster, it's only an hour and a half.
Okay, yeah. So that's the other. Oh. That's the no, not even close.
That's like Meadow Lake area.
Well, I bet you there's another Chittick
right.
Lake.
Yeah, Meadow Lake area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Very cool. My in-laws have a place in Northwest Territories on Leland Lake.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
Like, what do you mean, like a place?
They've got a fly-in fishing cabin. So it's a private fishing cabin. So you
what?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, hook us up, Nick.
Stacey,
I haven't made it up there yet. I haven't made it up there yet. We're really hoping that this year I make it up there. But yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's amazing,
yeah, that's
dude.
Yeah. There is fishing like crazy. Yeah. So
the hunting, pretty crazy. I've never been.
Well, my other half there, she went her and her dad went hunting up there one year, and it just kind of turned into, you know, fishing with guns. That was about it. So
ignore that.
Oh yeah, I was like,
I'm like
right here.
Click on,
yeah.
For our listeners, I clicked on the wrong button that flushed everybody.
That you wanted to talk.
Yeah, apparently I want. Yeah. No, it didn't flash somebody. It was like a little button. I want to talk.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that button there for? Who needs that? Well, I guess you know what?
Long, like, I'm sorry, big, Kurt, it's too much bush up there to go hunting. So.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That sounded really bad. really bad.
Is that too much bush up there to go hunting or too much bush down there to go hunting?
Whoa. Whoa.
That's what awesome. Is it, Nick?
Well, I did get a lawnmower for Christmas. Lawnmower 4.0. Not ashamed to say it.
What'd you get?
It says a lawnmower 4.0. Yeah, you have to look up what a lawnmower
what 4.0 is.
It's a razor for trim.
It's a razor for manscaping. It's a manscaping, thing.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
That's a big thing now. The manscaping. The ads like come across once in a while. Manscaping. Anyway, we can talk about something
else. Yeah.
Back to welding.
You asked me what kind of lawnmower I got. That's what kind of lawnmower I got.
I did. I was just thinking like for grass, like for your grass outside. But
yeah,
it's
winter. There's no grass outside. It's winter.
I prefer hardwood.
Oh boy, you guys. Well, what a treat.
you've made a bunch of razors before, haven't you, Nick? Like through the knife making stuff? Kind of lost you here. What's going on? Why did we lose you? Says you're here. Yeah, we lost it, dude. Can't hear you. That's weird. Anyways, Jen.
Yeah, we lost Nick.
That's weird. So I've got another question for you then from Rebecca. She wants to know if you've got maybe some advice for her being a newbie into the industry. Go.
Okay. Well, I guess this advice could go for guys or girls, but I think more specifically for girls, like you're obviously going to catch a lot more flack than the boys, any job you go on to. And I think, or even in school, maybe not so much in school, but going out to the field, right, into the real world, like you walk on a job site, you're a girl, it's like automatically, I don't want to say you're looked at as like, you're expected to be, you know, a little weaker, this and that. I think just holding your head high and like you're proving people wrong everywhere you go. And I think just accepting that and use it as like fuel, you know, going into your job. It's like, fuck you. I can do, you know, better than you, or, you know, work your ass off and like prove people wrong. 100%. It's like a challenge, no doubt, but the most gratifying feeling. Especially as years go on in your trade and you get better and get that confidence. So I think don't listen. You got him back.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the bad comments, or again, use them as fuel, work harder, prove people wrong.
Yeah.
That's my biggest advice is like, work hard, girl, work your ass off.
So that's been your driving force is to, you know, to prove everyone that you're not that 16-year-old girl. You're, you know, you can do
I think so.
Do whatever you want to do as well as anyone else can.
For sure. And I mean, even like starting your own business, like it seems, and it is, it's like the best thing in the world, you know, now that it's starting to come together. But it's, I think when people are like, oh, you're running, you know, this little business, it's fucking hard work, man. Like, right? Yeah. You're your own accountant. You're like, you know, all the expenses, like the sales part of it, and then welding, building shit on top of it. There's like a whole, you're doing like 10 jobs, you know?
Yep.
Are you cool to talk about that for a little bit? You got a bit more time?
Yeah.
Because that's really important shit right there, man. Like that's the other half of, well, it's that's half of what we do is making stuff. The other half is selling it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, you don't have a business if you don't sell shit.
Well, that's business, right?
You know, yeah. I'm a firm believer that you have to be passionate about business and passionate about what you're doing.
No, you've said that before, man. That struck a chord with me big time, dude. Big time. Like, if that, I really hope that hit our listeners hard, because that hit me hard, dude. You know, you go into this whole thing like, oh, I want to make stuff, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's only half the battle. You have to want to run a business as well.
You know what I really want to make?
That business could be anything, really.
Yeah. You know what I really want to make?
Really know what that entails, you know? Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
I want to make $1 million.
Oh.
That's what I want to make.
That's a... You know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, why are you doing what you're doing if you're not going to get paid for it? Like, you know, there's the love of it. There's the love of doing what you're doing, but you need to be able to monetize it and get paid for it.
Absolutely. That's the thing, like, to be an artist, right? And that's even for me. I love doing the art. I love doing the sculptures, but like, that's the reason why I want that CNC machine, just to have that like steady revenue. Do you know what I mean? Because to find the clientele to buy these sculptures, it's like a super small, I mean, once you're in there and you start building up your clientele, but not everyone wants a fucking metal sheep head. Do you know what I mean? But like,
oh, totally, right. Yeah,
start doing. Yeah, he does.
Right here.
Start doing the signs. Yep. You know, you start banging out fire pits and like just have a steady flow of income.
Just being able to cut out like perfect like hexagonal shapes out of quarter inch sheet and being able to blast out like 50 of them and taking five of those and putting them together to make a shape for a fire pit, like you were saying, or something like that, right?
And not just waiting like for the next job, like, well, you know, who's gonna ask me to make something? Just make stuff that people are gonna buy, like your everyday regular people, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Like affordable stuff. So I think that's my goal, you know, in the long run, because that's like you said, everybody wants, you know, to start a business and have a business, but it's not by any means all fun. Like, I love what I do, but like Nick said and Lando, business, like there's a whole other side. Selling your stuff is
I am really fortunate that my wife joined me here. Well, actually, we're coming up to a year now that she's been full-time with Twisted Steel, and she's kind of taken over a lot of the all the bookkeeping, but the marketing too. And that's, you know, that's a big relief off my shoulders. I mean, just running the shop and dealing with customers, that's kind of my deal. So it's really good to have somebody else in your corner helping you with that stuff. So, you know, it's great.
The marketing too, like, especially nowadays, social media is like,
oh, yeah,
all you have.
It's huge.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I love how she jumped onto Jen's Instagram there, and I was like, I love your stuff. I can't wait to hear the interview with you.
I'm like, how do you know?
I was like, we just spill the beans. Jeez, it's supposed to be on the PL.
I thought she made me work to Lando, or like, I'm like, who is this? Makes sense.
It's all good. I thought it was awesome, to be honest. Sweet. I was like, enthusiasm. This is great. Love it.
Yeah. Actually, she was in here taking pictures, and that's going to be...
That made me nervous. Fun. I'm like, she's going to be so disappointed when she hears me talk.
I don't know.
Who is this girl?
So, dude, if anything, you're really highlighting that this is possible. Like, you're talking about how you were working out of the corner of your garage with nothing. You've got a claw hammer. You don't have a forge. You don't have enough, right? You've got a 180 MIG. What are you running for gas? Are you running C17 generally? C10?
C25.
Because a little bit hotter, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Like, if I do take a job on where I'm doing like a table or something, right?
Yeah.
It's a better mix. But yeah, that's just it. It's like,
What do you have for a well table, dude?
What do I got for a weld? I got a decent... Actually, me and my brother built this table. But it's nothing special. It's just like a big steel... What is this? Half inch slab of steel plate. It's got 4 legs. What do you want to know?
Four by eight.
I got a measuring tape here for you if you really want to.
It's not. What's it not doing in your back pocket?
Oh, I'm very sorry.
This is a lesson I have to teach Rebecca. Where is your measuring tape? She should have one on her at all times. As any good tradesperson, you should always have a measuring tape on you. I'm bad for it. My boss always bugs me. Where's your tape?
What did you say? 4x8?
4x8, yeah.
Again, disappointing you here. It's 4x4. So see, you really don't need much, people.
There you go.
I ain't got shit, and I'm making beautiful sculptures.
What are you trying to tell me, Jen?
My welding table's 4x4, so there you go.
Honestly, it's, I don't know why you need much more. I mean, unless you do a bigger project.
If you're Kevin Stone, you're going to want yourself something like 20x40 type thing, right?
Depends what you're doing, I guess.
It's all in perspective, my man. Or my lady, sorry.
I should have built my table 4x8, especially if you're trying to do stairs or like a railing or anything like that.
True, yes. You know? And you know what? When I did take on a job, I did like a dinner, like a dining table. And this was way too small to do that.
Yeah.
It was a struggle. So, yeah, depends what you're doing for sure.
Yeah. We've got a jig structure that we use at work. It's I-beams that are flanged together every 8 feet with another I-beam and then legs off of each flange. And you can level each leg individually, right? So that you can create a nice flush surface.
Yes. It's
40 feet long by 6 foot wide. Gives you the ability to do, like, you can do so much on this table, dude. It's amazing. And because you can flush it just perfectly, like, with different shims.
That's
That is nice. I just picked up an awesome set of tools. They're welding squares from Fireball Tools.
Oh, you fucker. Which ones?
I got an 8-inch and I got 2 of the 5x4-inch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool.
We changed the direction of where we were going. We were wanting to talk business here, and we're back to tools.
We're addicts.
The accounting side of things, where do you guys find yourself picking up the – Nick, you deal with a chartered accountant, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about yourself, Jen? How do you do your accounting?
I also deal with an accountant, yeah.
Yeah? You don't try to take anything on yourself? No. Dude. Any tricks that you can give our listeners when it comes to your taxes, stuff that you guys have picked up that it's like this is – you should know this as a business owner?
Save every receipt you can.
True that.
Every receipt. For everything. If there is a way to write it off, try and write it off.
And you can pretty much write off. Fuck.
There's a lot that you can write off. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
yes. Save your receipt.
Dude, I figured out how to write off beer and ice cream sandwiches.
Okay, I need to know this one.
So we have a knife making class. We have up to 8 people at a time when we're gluing our handles together in the afternoon. Right after everybody passes gluing, then everybody gets an ice cream sandwich.
That's right.
You go. Yeah.
Taking your clients
and
out for lunch.
Once we're finished with the grinders and everybody's doing a little bit of hand sanding and finishing their handles and their knives, that's when we have a beer. There you go.
Bingo.
Done. Yeah.
Writing off those corporate dinners with the wife.
That's with my bookkeeper. Thank you very much.
Corporate dinner. Corporate dinner.
She is actually the office manager. She runs the show. So there
you go. Is the CRA listening to this podcast?
Jesus. All right. Next topic.
Do you want me to edit that out, Nick?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Running the business side of things, are you doing Etsy and writing your own? You got your own website. We've seen that, but I didn't dive in deep enough to find out if you're doing the Etsy game or anything like that outside of a website.
So I do have like an Etsy kind of page, but honestly, I don't know when I started up the Etsy thing. I think 2 years ago. But honestly, since I did that mallard, like I've been getting enough commissions that I honestly don't even have time right now to make anything just to sell. Do you know what I mean? Like everything that I've done has been a commission job. So I did sell that mallard duck or a mallard duck on Etsy. But yeah, most of what I do is just like people so far, people contacting me. I think if I was doing like smaller scale stuff, that took less time and I could just pump out like a bunch of like those small birds or whatever, I would put them on Etsy. But
once you get your cutting table.
What's that?
Right. Once you get your cutting table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Because then I will go through Etsy. I think it is a good platform for like small business owners, just not really catered. Maybe it is to what I'm doing, but I think if I put some of my stuff on there, it might just sit for a while. Do you know what I mean? Until that buyer came along who's going to pay that much money. But I think for like smaller stuff, it's good. But I've been super lucky just to have the jobs coming in and be doing these commission jobs. So
sure. For sure. So how does Etsy work? Like you make something in it, put it on the site and you can't sell it anywhere else or what?
No, you can sell it. So basically you put it on the site. Yeah, you can sell it anywhere. But like if someone clicks buy, right, you need to ship it out. You need to have it made. Boom, right there. And then I think they do get a percentage.
Yeah, they take
very small, but they would get like a small percentage.
I've heard that they've been upping it recently, though.
Okay, and
that
I see that.
Getting to the point where it's like questionable if you want to do it or not.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. If you have or can find a buyer on your own, like for me, the biggest selling tool or sales tool is like Instagram. And now you can like cater your ads, right? If you can click like, what do you want? More profile visits, more website visits. And literally they're attracting people like to your website. So for me, that's like, I'd rather spend my money on that than Etsy.
Where are you finding your sales are coming from? Are they more local? Are they regional, provincial, national?
Global.
Really? Are they? Are you sending stuff across seas?
No, I'm not, just because shipping is like
insane.
Such pain in the ass. So I do North America. I mean, if someone's willing to pay for the shipping, then yes, I would. But North America and like the majority of my sales are all in the US. Like,
oh, crazy.
Especially because my stuff, right, is like that wildlife, kind of hunting, fishing. So Montana, Idaho. Like, I get a
Texas,
ton.
I would
pretty
imagine.
Much 80% of my sales are United States.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. Yeah. I would have never suspected that. I would have. So this is good news to me because as an artist based off of Instagram, for example, using the social media network, you've kind of got to rely on the people that are within your social network. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at it and I'm just like, for me, like, I'm not sending anything to the States yet. I've had one person from the States inquire and I was like, oh yeah, for sure. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize you're from Canada. Sorry, dude.
Oh, really?
Like, what? Yeah, right. Yeah. Fuck you, hoser.
Just but, for like shipping or?
Maybe. I don't know what it was, but I'm happy to hear that a lot of your business is coming from the States. That makes me okay. So I don't know if you've seen the roses that I've been doing lately.
Yeah, those are super nice. Yeah.
Thank you. And I've been getting a ton of people interested in them lately. And that was the one, the person from the United States was like, that could be an Etsy item because that's like a reproducible item that I could have in stock ready to go. When it comes to something like your mallards, though, like you have to really sit back and be like, is this an item that I want to be spending a week making to have in stock, right? Or do I want to be offering this as a custom item? This is something that a lot of the knife makers are falling into recently too. They're realizing, like, you know, I'm taking custom orders from people on Instagram. They tell me exactly what they want for handle, spec, material spec, profile spec, and geometry, all the different, all these different aspects of what they want in a knife. And then the knife maker's like, okay, give me a week or 2 weeks, a month, depends on the difficulty.
Intricacy, for sure.
Right. And the same thing that you're probably finding with having to build something like a mallet or the moose antler rack that you're building right now. It's like, yeah, for sure, I'll build it for you.
Oh.
Give me a few days, give me a week or whatever to build it for you, and I'll have it ready for you. Whereas, like, that's not an item you can offer on Etsy.
Boom, they want it now. Like,
It's like, give me a week to make it. Bad review, one star. Oh, fuck, there goes my Etsy account, right?
That's for sure, like you said, for Etsy, it's the stuff that you can pump out a bunch of them, right? That repetitive kind of smaller stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely not geared towards the big custom pieces.
Getting back to that moose rack that you have, like, that's a mount. So that was a commission, or was that?
No, that's actually my brother's bowl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, nice. So he's local. Steve.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it was actually his idea too. He came to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's got tons of, like, you know, mounts done, but it was his idea kind of to do this metal one. But I put it on Instagram and it, like, kind of blew up and it had quite a bit of interest. And that's something like pretty quick for me to do and is like something more affordable. And that's kind of my clientele is, like, definitely more the hunting scene. So.
That like, you could team up with a taxidermist and do euros that way. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And it looks pretty cool, like the metal with
cool.
with the bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. You are a hunter. I see you've got a bow. What do you shoot?
Yeah. So I just got a Diamond 320 and I just bought that compound bow a couple months ago, December.
Oh, right on.
I always hunted, but like, we always use guns, so Dill doesn't bow hunt, like, nobody bow hunts. I kind of just wanted to get into it and
did it on your own. Right on.
I love hunting with a gun. Guns are awesome, but I think it'll be super satisfying to get like that close to an animal.
Yeah,
it's gonna be pretty exciting.
100 times more satisfying, dude.
Yeah. And, like, the work you had to put in to, like, right, get the reward is going to be
so much more natural. Yeah. Not that I've ever done it, but I do. I'm a bow guy. I'm not a gun person myself. I think bows are just fucking amazing, dude. Especially recurve, man. Like, fuck.
Oh yeah, that's insane.
The guys are making custom handmade recurve bows, there's a few of them out there that I follow on Instagram. Yep. I'm just like, buddy, your work just,
You've got to get an Osage bow, man. You need to get an Osage bow.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, we'll see how this season goes. See if I can get a deer out here.
Yeah.
What's your, is that what you normally go for, is deer? Is there anything else you'd like to go for?
Yeah, we do a lot of, like, bird hunting out here, Saskatchewan, you know, set up a blind and go to town on the geese and ducks.
Right on.
Yeah, I think, like, in Alberta, it's, I don't know, more whitetail. I'm going to go with my brother this year, hopefully, for elk.
Right on.
Yeah, he's getting a bow, so I'll have
What about like, antelope? I heard Saskatchewan apparently has a crazy antelope population.
They do. There's a ton of antelope, but I don't know, like, how the meat. I don't know.
The meat's really good.
Yeah, I heard it's that
really good. Antelope. Yeah.
Cool fucking rack on those things, man.
Yeah.
Not one of those would be fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've always wondered what an antelope horn would be like for a handle scale.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
you'd have to shape it and give it a good polish. But did you know that antelope are the only ungulate that sheds a horn? So, like, other and excuse me, can't even talk right now. Other deer and elk and all that kind of stuff, they'll shed an antler. Yeah. But a pronghorn, that's a horn, and they actually shed those. That's,
okay, I did not know.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, because usually animals don't shed horn.
Right.
They only shed. Yeah, so it's kind of
okay.
cool.
Fun yeah.
I could be full of shit. I don't know, but that's well, yeah, but I heard that somewhere. That
I thought,
yeah, maybe I did. Maybe I did. No, I
don't. Deer, I did hear don't deer and shit like that lose their whole rack every season?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
so? Yeah, what are you saying then? I don't get it.
Well, so those are
they have
antlers,
horns,
right?
Not antlers.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Fuck. Who was talking about this? Just I saw on Instagram. I want to say it was Mareko, maybe, but they were talking about maybe it was ram horn or something like that, and they never shed it. So that horn is constant growth over the years, and that's why it gets that like crazy chatoyance in it.
Yeah. I had to like research the shit out of that when I built that sheep. Because I actually made one.
Yeah.
Like the annuli. So I made it like an 8-year-old ram. If you like look closely at like the lines in the horns.
Well, and the details. I mean, you can tell it's a doll sheep and not a big horn, not a stone.
Yeah.
It's a doll. That's beautiful. Beautiful work.
And there is like such, finite details.
Yeah. And such a fine difference between those different species. I mean, it's amazing work.
A lot of Googling. Yeah. Like half of my job is staring at fucking pictures of sheep. A lot of animals. Yeah.
That's so funny. Go. My wife gives me a really hard time about the amount of time I spend on my phone. And it's like, okay, like you do realize this is pretty much for like everything I do on my phone is for my business.
Yes,
like I'm not here fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Pornhub. Okay. So Pornhub is the first link that comes up on my phone. Big deal.
Okay. That's so
you
true. Though. It's like, yeah. Well, even if for like your social media, if you're making like a reel, because that is what it's about now. It's like you're not doing that shit. You're not getting followers. You're not getting people seeing your stuff. And that's like for me the most, like the hardest. Like welding is easy. It's like the social media, and it's like a ton of work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Are you on the whole bandwagon of doing the reels all the time? Where do you find yourself looking at? How do you look at that? What's your view on that?
I definitely try to. And I mean, like my goal on Instagram, like I don't even go on my personal anymore. It's like my whole goal why I have Instagram is like for the business.
Yeah.
I want people to see my stuff. And like part of that, 100% Instagram, like if you put a picture on, like it's crazy the difference between the picture and like the reels is what it's about now. So for an artist trying to get my name out there, 100% I've like jumped on the bandwagon because you have to if you want to like keep up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We had a marketing specialist tell us that we have to do at least 3 posts a day on Meta. So that's Facebook and Instagram. 3 posts every day.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you lose relevancy, right? So
yeah. Well, it's the more you're like, I just don't want to be annoying, It's like, okay.
Well, you gotta fight that urge and be annoying.
Okay,
do as many posts as you can.
I've been trying to kind of play that game, and I don't necessarily see yes, my account has traction because of it. But I've also noticed that, what's the right word for it? Singular posts with the right content get way more traction versus trying to post 3 times a day.
But, right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing is, if you post 3 times a day, you're going to stay relevant and you're going to show up on more people's pages. And then just by the algorithms, if they happen to like this, then they're going to see you more often. And then they're going to see those other big posts that really hit big.
Yeah.
Right.
Like how many times does somebody want to see a fucking rose? Like I literally, that's all I've been posting lately. And I'm like, dude, people are going to get sick of this shit.
you know what? Your followers are going to see some roses, and then somebody's going to share it, and then you're going to gain more followers. And that.
But then the thing is, like the world today, if you go on like TikTok or whatever, people love just watching some dumbass shit of someone like,
oh yeah,
in their kitchen doing nothing. It's like we're out here putting work in, yep, doing some cool stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like we're building, yep, stuff from nothing. It's like people would rather watch some idiot like doing nothing, making like a ham, yeah, sandwich. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a
crazy not world. Not even making a ham sandwich. Fucking,
yeah,
like eating the ham sandwich. Like for, yeah, fuck's sake.
Seriously. And it gets like a million views. It's like, what is wrong with the world that like, it's just, it blows my mind. It's
what? And you question what is wrong with the world. You also question what's wrong. Sometimes I don't know. Maybe it's me. I start to sit back and go.
The ham sandwich. I should be making more sandwiches.
Is it me? Yeah. Is it me? Am I doing the wrong thing? Is there something about my account that's pushing people away, that they're going towards this account versus mine? Like, what are they doing differently that I'm not doing? How do I get to that level that I can put out a stupid fucking ham sandwich video and get a million, yeah, fucking views, right? Like,
and people like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? It's the stupidest thing that gets traction, you know?
Yeah.
It could be, you know.
Oh, dude.
I don't know.
One of my best videos, I got something like 40,000 views on a video, and it was cool. Me breaking or hammering a piece of cold steel over the edge of my sharp anvil, showing that I could fucking cut a piece of cold steel on the edge of the anvil.
Yeah.
And it got 40,000 fucking views.
It's crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the stuff you like put, yeah, effort into, it's like, okay, nobody liked that. Hey, just,
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Like things where I'm like, this is a valuable, like I do shop tips on a regular basis on my Instagram.
Yeah.
A lot of them get like 600 views, maybe 1,000 views, whatever. You know what? And I'm like, okay, great. Then I'll do something stupid that gets fucking 40,000 views. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. 30,000 views. I got a few different videos on my Instagram that are like up in that region. It's like, why? But
yeah.
I think, yeah, time of day, tags, a lot of that stuff.
You know what? For you and me and Jen, the videos where you're showing a technique or you're showing something technical, that's interesting to us. But,
right,
I mean, it's really cool when you break a piece of steel over the side of your anvil, right?
You know what? You have such a good point there, Nick. Because it's like, unless,
yeah,
even archery or like bow hunting, right? Like Cameron, yeah, Haynes, I don't know if you follow him, but like to me, he's
that
like,
guy is amazing.
Yeah, but then if, like, yeah, right? Unbelievable. Someone who's not, doesn't care about, even him, he's, you know, huge. But, like, some people are still, yeah, not interested. So for, like, welding, blacksmithing, it's like, someone sees that, they're like, oh, cool. They don't really give a shit. So you have to, like, really blow people up. I don't know. Like, I'm still, I do, like, even the sheep, I'm like, this is going to blow up. And, yeah, then it's like,
I'm sorry,
not
Jen,
more
I don't,
people found that cool.
You know what I love about Cameron, yeah, Haynes is, you can watch him doing target practice. He's got a 3D target set up in front of his garage door. His 3/4-ton diesel is parked right in the driveway. He's at the end of the driveway, which is 100 yards away, and he's firing arrows towards his pickup truck and hitting that 3D target.
Yeah.
You know, insane. Never mind not caring about the door behind him. He's not going to poke holes in that because he's hitting the 3D target. He's not going to go into the radiator. He's going to hit that target. That's amazing. You know?
Yeah, it's so crazy.
I'd be buying radiators weekly. Like, yeah.
Yeah. He has, I don't know if you read his Keep Hammering book, but it is like so good. So motivating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been very skeptical about showing off my property at all in my Instagram videos because I'm like, man, like this is like showing off where I live and stuff like that. People can like, yeah, fucking hone in on where my shop is so easily and shit like that. But it's like, fuck, the content is so fucking good. It could be so good. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Is that something that, like you've ever looked at with your shop, Jen, now that you're on a new property and stuff like that, like you could like really use a lot of that content to your advantage, building the shop and all that kind of stuff, right? And setting it up.
I think it's like less, I mean, or yeah, sorry, like for the content, heck yeah. Just having, right, versus like a dingy corner of your garage. And people, like social media is all about, right, the looks of everything. So for sure, this is like definitely going to be a game changer. It's bright in here. Like I had one row of lights in the garage. Couldn't even see what I was welding. It's amazing the shit turned out.
Just joking. No, I'm looking at the white wall behind you, and I'm like, holy moly, white wall in a welding shop.
I know.
Yeah.
It is brand new, though.
Yeah.
The fume extractor.
Keep it white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be kind of orange tinged in no time flat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, especially with plasma cutting. You notice that the plasma cutting puts a lot of like metal fume in the air.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
For sure. Yeah. Especially if you're cutting like dirty metal or, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck yeah. Anything with rust on it, it's just like orange smoke in the air. It's so nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All's like whenever I think about that, I drive, there's a foundry not far from my place, I guess it's on the way to work or whatever. I drive by a foundry on a regular basis. And every once in a while, I drive by and it's like literally fucking like orange clouds just fuming out of this building. And it's like, holy fuck, that's so unhealthy. Thank God that wind is blowing away from my house. You got to wonder about industry like that being allowed within city limits sometimes, man. Like it's.
That started, the city probably wasn't around it.
No, you're right. You're totally right. This is like a wheel manufacturing company for trains. Griffin Wheel Company, I think, is the name of the company. They build train wheels. And where it is definitely would not have been in the city
when it started.
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Awkward silence.
I was going to think of something. What causes awkward silence? Maybe time to cut her down and say goodnight, wrap it up.
Yeah, I hate my message.
Throw the sheepskin on her.
It's been fun.
It's been a blast. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Jen, thank you very much for joining us and chatting the chat and doing all the BS that we've been doing here and lifting my spirits after a crappy day.
Was it me or was it the three beer? We don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I probably didn't need that third one. I'm feeling it right now, big time.
All right, Thursday? Time.
Yeah, I took tomorrow off from work. So much time, man.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Great talking to you both.
It's my birthday.
Great talking to you. Is it your birthday?
Yeah, I'm turning 41. That's why I took tomorrow off.
Today's your birthday?
No, it's on.
Valentine's Day. That's always the worst. You find out, you're like, sorry.
It's actually on. It's on Valentine's Day, which, is Tuesday, but this weekend's the celebration, I suppose, with the family and whatnot.
There you go. Okay, there you go.
This is my birthday beer is right here with you. Thanks for celebrating with me and making me feel good, cheers. Jen. Nick, cheers.
Hey. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, good times. On that note. Wait. Jen. Do you know who Bob and Doug McKenzie are? Do you know how the outro works? Can you do this with me?
Hang on. You missed something.
What did I miss?
Music. What are you listening to in the shop?
Oh, shit. Fuck me. Yeah, what's hot on your music list right now? Real quick, let's get this out.
Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan are like playing all day, but I listen to everything. Like,
give me a specific song.
from White House Road. Love that shit. Send to me Zach Bryan, any Zach Bryan though, and any Tyler Childers. Follow Univergy. Unbelievable. But I switch up the genres. I'll listen to Eminem one day and then Alan Jackson the next. AC/DC.
Awesome.
Fred Van Fleet is deadly.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Literally like every and anything girl. And everything.
This girl's all over the place, man.
That's right.
Lando?
I have a funny feeling you'd like some King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard in your life.
I'm not. What? Was that a tongue twister?
It is a tongue twister. And oddly enough, I should have one ready to go from them, and I don't because I think that would be a good music choice this week. Yeah. But you know what? I'm actually going to go with Mad Caddies. I'm So Alone. I'm going to go see Mad Caddies right away live in concert. I've seen them a few times. Favorite band. I love Mad Caddies, dude. Last time I saw them, they were playing. They opened for Sublime at the arena. It was like huge crowd or whatever. Did that. And then shortly after, they came to a small pub venue, which I had tickets for that venue. And I saw them and they were like, to say the least, guy was fucking playing the trombone on a table, dude, shirtless. It was it was epic, to say the least. So fucking Mad Caddies.
Awesome.
Yeah, how about yourself?
That's awesome. Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Ooh, nice.
Crazy as Metallica guy.
Wait. Okay, so the last time we did this, I was not listening to Metallica. It was the furthest thing from Metallica, little Linda Ronstadt.
No kidding.
So I thought we got working in the shop a little bit this week. And
yeah,
Master Puppets.
That's funny because that was almost a music choice of mine, but not quite.
There's
a gentleman, Bill McClintock. He'll be coming up. He'll be coming up in my music choice soon. He does remixes, and he does one of "Men Down Under" and Metallica One. Dude,
right on.
That so sounds good. Interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's fucking cluck this shit out of here, buddy.
Yeah.
You ready, Jen? You want to? You
know?
Are you familiar with Doug and Bob McKenzie?
I do know, but I don't know what the
opener, closer.
Can we do a practice?
No?
A trial run?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Yeah.
I do the coo 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 coo, and then you follow it with coo 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 coo.
Okay. Are you paying me for this?
Totally. There's a check in the mail.
Yeah.
Lots of money. $1 million in the mail coming your way. Wait.
All right, I got it.
For legal reasons, anything we say on this podcast cannot be held against us. Good day. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a wonderful day. Good day.
Yeah. Wow, guys, nailed it.
Yeah, no after show this week, eh? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's call it quits. I got to get out of here.
Hey, no, it sounds good. Enough. Yeah.
Oh, wait, before we go, the Twiller linseed oil. If you guys head over to twillerlinseed.com, use the code ForgeChat10, you'll save 10% on the Twiller linseed oil products. And I can't say enough good things about their products. You guys have been working with Dawson for a while now, been using his products for a while now. I can't say enough good things. Absolutely love this stuff. Head over to twillerlinseed.com, use the code ForgeChat10 on orders $50 or more. Save that 10%. You can thank me later. Have a good day, hosers.